Montez Bucilla showed a lot of development and promise over the course of the 2024-25 season, and how the Bulls really see and cultivate his development is going to be a key thing of what the Bulls look for next season. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in today's episode. We're also going to be looking at Bulls players that are unlikely to return to the team next season and continue our player grades, this time with Lonzo Ball. We're going to get into all that, plus a little bit of the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I want to start off talking about Montez Bucilla, right? Something that I think should be evident by a lot of Bulls fans and maybe even people around the NBA is that Montez Bucilla had one of the more exciting and promising rookie years that we've had in a Chicago Bulls uniform in a while, right? Ayo Dosunmu had a solid rookie year, but it finished kind of, you know, awkwardly when he was the starting point guard. And that was, you know, he adjusted the role, rookie wall, all those type of things. Lauri Markkanen had a really good rookie season as well. You know, when you look at Wendell Carter, it was kind of up and down his rookie season. Like, it's been a while since we had a season that really kind of finished as strong as what Montez Bucilla has finished. And, you know, the Bulls need to really be focused on the development of Montez to really see what they have there. A young player like Montez, if he hits his ceiling, completely changes the trajectory of the Chicago Bulls team. But I'm gonna admit something here. I'm a little concerned about how much, like, I get it that AK has talked very glowingly about Montez Bucilla, and he should. It's probably a win for him in a time period where he's been getting beaten up a lot because of his decisions, right? Billy Donovan has talked a lot about Montez. I think when you look at how it went over the course of the season with his minutes growing and things like that, like, Montez Bucilla also showed, Billy Donovan also showed a appreciation of how Montez really responded to Billy Donovan's challenges early in the year and things like that. And I already know, you know, shout out to Winton. He's probably getting typing. How dare Modest Billy challenge Modest. Challenge himself, but nonetheless. But I don't have the biggest faith in the front office to really. Here's the thing, right? Here's what I'll say. You had a young player that developed tremendously under you, and you got rid of the head of player development, right? And so that brings questions. Now, it's possible. Let me make no mistake about it. While we've talked a lot about the firing of Peter Patton, the letting go, not extending his contract of Peter Patton, it's still a thought process here that, you know, maybe between Wes Unseld, Dan Craig, Peter Patton's understudy that took over the player development department, that there's still enough here with this Bulls team to where that they can, still develop him, right? It's not coming down. I tell you this, Peter Patton is a guru when it comes to a shooting coach, and he's a very smart basketball mind, and I'd rather him be here. I want to be clear on that. But that does not mean that it was the key to development was all through Peter Patton, right? You can still develop. People still develop without ever talking or working with Peter Patton. So, you know, again, I would rather him be here, and I want to be clear on that. I think he offered the best shot at that, and he showed and did his fucking job, and he should have kept his job. I think all of that, hometown kid, he wanted to stay here with the Chicago Bulls. And keep in mind, Peter Patton can get a job developing anywhere, period. He has his own gym where people can come and get to him for him to work with him. So Peter Patton's going to be okay, but I just wanted to make sure I point out in that I still would have rather Peter Patton stay here, but it's not that Peter Patton isn't the end-all, be-all when it comes to it's basically not Peter Patton or bust when it comes to development for your players. But AK has not shown a ability, and I want to be clear, maybe with the renewed focus, the going younger with your roster, maybe that fixes that, right? But let's not act like AK has shown that he is going to be put player development at the fore and foremost thought, right? I mean, you have players like Kobe, whose roles changed every single year. You have players like Ayo, who've developed here, his roles changed every single year. So I'm not just going to assume that they're automatically going to put Montez Bucilla in better positions heading into his second season. I hope that they will. And until I see otherwise, I'm going to maintain that hope. But I want to be clear here. This Bulls front office has shown some signs of concern one way or a damn another when it comes to focusing on the young players' development. But how they view Mattis, and if they're doing this the right way, in the way that sensible front offices are doing, and not just with Mattis, with Kobe, with Giddey, right? If these guys are part of your long-term plan, you have to start at some point thinking about how do we mold this roster to where we can get the it makes it easier for these guys. Again, I'm not saying that either one of these guys have shown you can build 100% of your team around them, but I do think they've shown enough to where you can say, all right, let's try to bring in some pieces that make this job easier for them, and then let's see what we really have in those guys. And I think that's the focus in the draft. Right now, I've said it before, and I want to get Bulls fans ready for this. While we are all looking at centers, because it's all the sensible thing to do to draft a center in this draft, there still is an avenue to go best player available, and that still makes sense for this basketball team. I want to be clear there, right? So going best player available is still on the still a possibility, and that best player available may end up being a Rashear Fleming. Maybe it is a forward, a power forward, where you make Mattis a small forward. Maybe it's a small forward that helps strengthen what Mattis does at power forward. There's still that option there, a wing defender that helps Giddey, Kobe, and Mattis, right? So, like, there's all those type of things that are on the table here. But I think either way, no matter what position that they go, I hope that this team is doing something to where it's looking at how those pieces fit together. One thing that Gar Foreman and John Paxson didn't do towards the end of their run is really start thinking about how pieces fit together. When they drafted Kobe, Laurie, and Wendell, right? They were really just hoping to see something sticks to the wall. And I get it, trying to go the player that you see is the best available at that time. I get it. But you still have to think about how pieces fit together. You still have to think about what members you have of your coaching staff that can help support the development of those young pieces you bring in. Although everything has to really work in synergy. And that's something that Gar Foreman didn't do towards the end of their run. That's something that AK hasn't really done at the beginning of his run either. Like, yeah, initially bringing in Lonzo and DeMar and all those guys, like, you could see where they thought those guys were going to fit together and how Lonzo was there to help with the DeMar and Zach thing where that didn't really fit together, Caruso as a defender, all that, right? But then the subsequent moves that came off that was almost like he was just trying to hold on and get something to stick. And that's where we can't be right now, right? You have to find balance in both. And that's the place that this front office finds themselves in. And that's why I said, like, in a lot of ways, the front office has put a spotlight even more on themselves when you're talking about this thing of be patient. Like, okay, be patient for what? Right? What are we being patient for? You have to show some promise in something that we're being patient for. Mattis Bousillis can be something in that. I think Mattis Bousillis can absolutely be a player that we can be patient and wait on his development and what he's going to turn into, because he can be that level of player, right? Or he's looking like he's trending in that direction. But we got to see how we're going to continue to draw it and develop it and things like that. And before people get to saying, oh, but Billy Donovan here, can we have Billy Donovan's here for now, right? But that doesn't stop the development that needs to be done. Regardless of how you look at Billy Donovan, that still doesn't stop a player development department that we have, that we created, that needed to develop players. That still doesn't stop a Wes Unseld and a Dan Craig who have been head of players developments and who have worked out relationships with these players about helping these guys continue to grow. All those things need to continue to happen. One of the most promising things that I saw is what, the day or two after the season end, Mattis Bousillis is at the Advocate Center getting in work with coaches. That's what we need to see a lot this offseason, because that's what's going to help get us to the place that every Bulls fan wants to see us get to. Let's be a consistent playoff team. Let's not have to run through the play-in yet again. Like, let's try to avoid that next year. Mattis Bousillis is a key part into building off of that, and we'll see what he brings to the table. But with that said, every offseason there are players that don't come back, right? Whether it's one player, two player, three players, whatever. Today's episode, I want to talk about players that, just simply put, the Bulls could look to move or, you know, let go, walk away, just to create roster space and bring in, whether it's more promising players, whether it's create some opportunities to bring in trades or whatever else it is. The first player, and you guys should know who I'm going to go to, is Javon Bald-Headed Ho Carter. Listen, when we came in and we got Javon Carter, we thought we were going to be getting a point guard who could come in, play solid defense, and shoot the three ball. He's not been good at any of that. Now, the problem is that he has a player option for next season, and he's highly unlikely to opt out of that player option, which is getting him guaranteed money to just try to go elsewhere, because that free agent market probably is not going to be here with his performance here on the Chicago Bulls. He's just not going to be there. He has a player option of $6.8 million, which is bananas, right? $6.8 million for Javon Carter. Now, other than that, right, the Bulls trying to buy him out, which, again, is kind of unlikely. We'll see what happens there. But the NBA does have the stretch provision, right? A CBA does have a stretch provision where we can waive Javon Carter's contract and spread that money out over the next 3 years, which means that roughly $4 million in salary cap space we can save this year. You're going to have to pay him the money regardless, right? But it gives you an opportunity where you're not taking all that hit right now. He appeared in 36 games. That's it. Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, these guys have passed him up on the depth chart. And if it comes down to keeping one of the guys that's going to be mentioned later on in this list, like a Trey Jones, I'd be willing. Again, keep in mind, even without waiving Jalen Carter and giving Josh Giddey the amount of money that he's kind of expected to get, the over $30 million, and drafting your first-round pick, you still have about $19 million in cap space. You waive and stretch, use the stretch provision on Javon Carter. That adds $4 million to the books, which puts you at roughly about $22 to $23 million, depending on exactly the details of the contract. That could be money, and not the full. I'm not saying the full, but that could be money to keep Trey Jones on this roster. And guess what? I'd rather have Trey Jones than have Javon Carter, even if it means waiving and stretching him and having to eat part of that salary, right? So that's something to look out for, especially if the Bulls do see that value, or see maybe even it's another free agent. Maybe it's a different 3-and-D prospect that the Bulls want to bring in. Javon Carter, because the Bulls don't have the open roster spots, could be that player that doesn't make it through. Next up, Talen Horton Tucker. Now, I know that there are surprisingly a high number of Talen Horton Tucker, truthers out there, which is weird. He appeared in 58 games last season. He averaged 6.5 points per game, 1.7 rebounds, 1.4 assists. And while he did have some moments in some games where he absolutely did go off offensively, and I will say this, I can even admit it, it was when the Bulls did need it. Talen Horton Tucker is not an above average basketball player. Now, he is only 24 years old. He fits the timeline, things like that. And if you do waive and stretch Javon Carter, maybe you can create a path to where it makes sense to keep Talen Horton Tucker. But I hate to tell y'all this, THT is a bad basketball player. He's an inefficient player, right? He's inefficient. He needed 5 shots to get 6.5 points. That's not good efficiency. And the people that are surprisingly enough Talen Horton Tucker truthers are just weird people, right? Because I think that they get so caught up in the box score of some games that you don't look at the details. Talen Horton Tucker is only effective when he operates as a high volume player, meaning that you get him a bunch of shots and he gets you marginal points based off those shots. You look at his most effective season in the NBA. He took 9.5 shots to get 10.7 points on 41% shooting and 28% shooting from three. He's not good.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's a career 42% shooter from the field and 29% shooter from three. These aren't good numbers, as well as a career 77% free throw shooter. You can replace and get better than Talen Horton Tucker. And I think because of all of that, Talen Horton Tucker returning to this basketball team is slim to none. And it should be slim to none. He's just, I get the age and all that type of things, but you can find a different player. And I think you can get similar production from that. Maybe even better production. So Talen Horton Tucker is another player that I am not expecting to be back on the Chicago Bulls. And then lastly, Trey Jones. Trey Jones is not because of his skill at all. Let me be clear here, right? When you look at what he averaged in his games with the Bulls, 11.5 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 1.1 steals in 18 games, right? And as a starter, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Trey Jones is the type of player that you keep around and that has shown that he can actually fit with some of the pieces that you are looking to keep on your team. Trey Jones is a player worth keeping. The problem is that on top of the injury, on top of him being another guard, on top of, like I said, unless the Bulls get creative in waving, stretching Javon Carter, which I would do, or making a trade to where they send out more players than they take back, it's going to be very difficult for the Bulls to keep Trey Jones just because of the fact that, you know, we only are going to have 3 open roster spots with the way that things shake down. Two of those are going to Josh Giddey, and another one, two, our first round draft pick. And then at that point, like, You got a second round pick too that you may have to keep on, right? Like, what are those things looking like? So I just think that it's the path to keeping Trey Jones is difficult, even though we should keep him. But again, some franchises would do what it would take, a.k.a. waving Javon Carter, to make that happen. We'll see if the Bulls do that, if they view Trey Jones like that, or maybe Trey Jones gets an offer out there that the Bulls just don't feel is worth it. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But Trey Jones is definitely the type of player that I would love to see stay here in Chicago, and we see how that works out. Now, I know some people are going to ask, Hayes, you didn't mention Vooch. You didn't mention Patrick Williams. And here's why. We're assuming in this case that the Bulls are going to shop Nikola Vucevic, right? And I do think that they will shop him. Will they find a deal? I don't know. But I do think that they will shop Nikola Vucevic. So that goes without saying. I do think shopping Nikola Vucevic is just as academic at this point heading into the offseason. We'll see if the Bulls can find a deal, but I do think that they will shop him. As far as Patrick Williams, we do have a voicemail on this, and I'll go a little bit deeper into that. I just think moving Patrick Williams without giving up a valuable asset is going to be very, very difficult with the way that he's performed. So that's why he's not on this list. You're not waving stretching him with all that money he has left. So that's why it comes down to that. But, you know, Patrick Williams is a player that I get it at being young. Again, we'll get more into it. We got a voicemail. We'll get more into it there. But I want to continue to player grades. We took a break for it over the weekend because those are mailbag weekends. Those are focused on you guys with kind of an introductory topic. But let's continue to player grades. This time, let's grade Lonzo Ball, right? Lonzo, man, it's been like, it's so difficult because if you want to grade Lonzo by just the basketball play on the court, that's a solid B, right? With everything that he came, when he come back from injury, an injury that he's the first player to make his NBA return back from, you know, the defense that he was able to bring. The fact that if you still go and look at the advanced analytics, when Lonzo Ball was on the court, he had a huge positive impact for this Chicago Bulls team. You just can't take him away from that, right? The analytics love that. But that is why, even at me being an analytical person, I love advanced analytics for basketball. You can't just use that to try to dictate the value of a player. It can help solidify or point out some things. But just to point that out, when Lonzo was on the court, Keyword, on the court, the Bulls were 9.3 points better than their opponents. We had a point differential of plus 9.3 when Lonzo Ball was on the court. Our points per 100 possessions went up 2.7. Our rebounding went up. Our turnovers went down. Everything got better. And then when you look at that, on average, we gave up 6.7 points less per 100 possessions when Lonzo Ball was on the court, because that's how good Lonzo Ball is defensively. Effective field goal shooting percentage for opponents went down by 3% when he was on the court. Opponents' turnovers went up by almost 2% when Lonzo Ball was on the court. There's no doubt that when Lonzo Ball is playing basketball, he makes such a positive impact for this Bulls team. But therein lies the problem. Lonzo Ball averaged 22 minutes per game this season, the lowest of his NBA career, which again is expected when you're coming back from the type of injury that Lonzo Ball is making his return back from. And you played 35 games in total on Lonzo Ball's first contract with the Bulls before this extension. The first 4 years, the Bulls got 70 total games out of him. That's it, right? And therein lies the problem with Lonzo. What Lonzo brings when he's on the basketball court is great. He had a season-ending injury almost early in the season with the wrist, and then that same wrist ended up eventually ending his season. He only ended up playing three or four games after signing his contract extension. That is the risk of Lonzo Ball, and especially now looking at it as this extension that you gave that you could have waited to the end of the season for Lonzo may be what costs you keeping Trey Jones. That's bad, right? That's bad. So at this point, And again, I trust that if Lonzo, he said he's going to have a full offseason, his first in a long time, where he's not focused on rehab and recovery. And hopefully Lonzo can get that shooting stroke back, because he shot the ball 34% from three, which is the lowest of his NBA career or since his rookie year. 36% from the field overall, which is the lowest of his career, tied for the lowest. He has to be better. And hopefully he can be, because he's under contract next year. But the season of Lonzo Ball, the only thing keeping this from being an F is the fact that he's coming back from an amazing, a critical injury, and he played pretty well when he was on the court. But everything, the disappointment around Lonzo, the season, the extension, all those type of things, Lonzo Ball's season grade for me is a D. And it sucks, because had he, let's say he even played 50 games, right? That would have been way different, way different. But I think that everything with Lonzo and what it is, like the basketball game, the basketball that he gave on the court was great, but all the things around that just left a bad taste in my mouth. So that's my grade. I know the Lonzo Ball stands are going to absolutely grade it differently. You're going to say, well, Hayes, you should have graded it on a different curve because he came back from injury and he's this rap godfather is already typing his message up. But that's my grade. It is what it is. All right, let's get into these. This one voicemail that we got today. This one's from Corey.
What up, Hayes? It's Corey, a.k.a. Bossman C4. You're going to hear a lot of me. This is my first one. But I'm going to keep it brief because I'm on break and I'm trying to afford to go to a Bulls game next year. So, look, let me start off at the bottom of the totem pole. Patrick Williams. Let's, like, maybe get off of him. I get, like, it's a lot of flack because we chose him with the 8th pick. And we just paid this man $90 million. For one, I understand maybe not going with him with the 8th pick. I mean, I seen the upside. Cool. He first year wasn't too terrible. Cool. He started to wither out, if y'all guess what you guys want to call it that. Because to me, he's still somewhat serviceable. He's in the right position on the second unit. He's not completely terrible. He like a dog who ate the ring, a couple nice pieces of jewelry or some stuff. Cause yeah, it's a piece of shit. But like, if you keep digging, you might find a few good pieces of gold, I guess you want to call it. Like the man is like, he's iffy, but like with his defense, I guess you could say he's real serviceable. But, and then two, the money. Let's all keep it real in reality. $90 million in today's league ain't really nothing. And it gets like restructured. I think it's some shit like next year or so. So like, that $90 million looks a lot on paper because if you want to go back in the day, that's damn near a max contract. But today, that's pretty doable. He's not going to put us in no slump financially or anything like that. So let's chill on Pat Will. Hey, I'm gonna use that, bro. But nah, Boots gotta go. Boots, I love Boots. Boots is getting old. He's a top center in the league. But Boots, I feel like right now, as far as value goes, because I personally feel like we should keep Kobe and Giddy. But I'll get to that. Boots, I feel like we need to get the most value right now for Boots. And try to pivot and find the replacement in the draft while keeping Jalen Smith as the backup center. Point blank, period. I ain't got too much else to say, Boots. Thank you for everything you did for us. I love you, Boots. You wasn't too much of a vocal leader to me. Could have been a little bit better. Like, you could have kind of ran this team given the fact that you are really the only superstar on the team. Superstar in quotes.
All right, so the Patrick Williams conversation, it's always going to be layered, right? Because Patrick Williams is young. The Bulls are going to very much look at it like this is a time period where we can keep giving opportunities for P. Will. But I do think P. Will is coming into next season, and he's going to be a bench player, and he's going to have to show what he can bring off the bench. And maybe he can. I'll tell you what, solid defense and 10 points, 9 points per game off the bench is solid. Can he be, how much better than that can he be? How much does he learn from it? And how much does his foot injury play a part into that? But as it stands right now, nobody's taking P. Will's contract anyway. We can say all day that the $90 million isn't what it used to be, and you're right. But guess what? It's still bad if the basketball play is bad. And Patrick Williams is hasn't been good this season. He got worse defensively, worse shooting-wise. Now, maybe a lot of that is due to the foot. But as it stands right now, P. Will got worse at the things that he did well on top of already only doing a couple of things well consistently. So we'll see what happens with P. Will. I do think they're going to have a very difficult time in moving him, but we'll see what the future holds for P. Will. Now, as far as trading Vooch, I do think that is a must at this point. You got to at least shop him. And I think at some point, if you do draft a center, which is very likely for the Bulls, but not guaranteed because this is AK, if you draft a center, you trade Vooch and get whatever you can back. At that point, even if you get a couple of seconds back, you get a couple of seconds. But I don't trust AK to look at it that way. he's a guy that's always going to want to try to find that value, and that may be why Vooch could end up staying on this team, but I do think that they should look to move him, and I think that they will, and we'll see where that ends up holding out for this team. But thank you for that voicemail, Corey. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.